Recently, I've been on a boat and I've seen some ships of varying sizes in the Caribbean Sea. So today I want to talk about fixing our navigation system. In any journey, you know, whether we're walking or driving or taking any other form of transportation, we have to navigate from point A to point B. Now, point A is where we're starting from, and point B is where we're headed, our destination, whatever it is we decided as the target of our movement. Our journeys are going to have a purpose to them, you know, sometimes more than one purpose. If we've got errands to do, for instance, or we want to see multiple people on a given trip. And sometimes it's just for pure joy, but sometimes it's utilitarian. Sometimes we're going to be aware of these purposes, and sometimes somebody else would have told us what our purpose is. And sometimes we're just going to be moving from point A to point B without actually knowing what it is we're doing or why. Our beliefs about ourselves and others, our beliefs about our life, our beliefs about God, and so on, are going to make some of these purposes of what we're doing known to us. And they're going to obscure other possibilities from our awareness. And depending on our emotional state as we're traveling, if we're in anger, we're going to be able to perceive threats much more readily, even those that don't exist, than if we were in a higher vibration, for instance. So our awareness is going to be moderated by our emotional states, as well as our beliefs and experiences from past events. Using the book, and I am extremely fond of this book, as you probably already know now, Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. When I use that as a reference, I think what we could really say that our purposes run from the completely subconscious and physical to the most conscious and the most spiritual. So the range of our purposes can be enormous, some known to us, some not known to us. Now, we could look at survival, and living things have a tremendous purpose toward survival. Survival is, according to some philosophers, the ultimate physical purpose for living things. You go, okay, I could agree with that. However, when we look at some of our other purposes that are driven by the ego, that is our sense of ourself, our view of who we are, the person we refer to when we use the word I, that can really involve several different purposes, acquiring what we want and pushing away what we don't want. And that's described in detail in the book, Christ Returns, as the two main impulses to our individual natures. So it really pays to know a little bit more about those, maybe a lot more about those. We try to ensure our survival, our privacy, our sense of security, the sense of togetherness, of belonging. We build families, we build communities, we build nations. All of this stuff is really geared on a positive level to saving lives and construction, that is building things, making things better, improving things. Some people take on the purpose of becoming successful, wealthy or famous, as the driving force to their behaviors. That's what they want, that's what they set their sights on, and that's what governs their behaviors. If things are in line with those purposes, then they do it. If they're not aligned with those, then they don't do it. Some have accepted suffering as their purpose. And I can imagine that some of this belief in suffering or the need to suffer comes from some of our religious training where Christ or Jesus was held up to us as the ideal. Be like him, be like him, be like him. And then they connect immediately to the suffering, the crucifixion, the torture that he underwent in those final hours. And we go, oh, in order to be like him, I have to suffer. So suffering is good in a case like that. I don't subscribe to that idea. I think there's much more to Jesus Christ than the suffering, than the crucifixion. In fact, the miracles and the consciousness that he was demonstrating to us that was available to us. That's the part that I'm particularly intrigued with. Other people have accepted that there is no purpose to their life as their purpose. So they're basically adopting the idea that they're in a boat, if you will, a sailboat, that has no rudder. And that means they have no control, no volitional control over direction. They're going to go where the wind takes them, where other influences take them, where the currents take them, and they're just going to go along and see what happens. In letter number 6 of Christ Returns, Christ says this, "Your true purpose in life is to gain mastery of your ego by reaching out in thought and feeling to that which you sense is behind creation and consistently asking for enlightenment." I love that statement. I just think that is so fantastic. And in the book, he says similar things multiple ways, probably trying to penetrate our human consciousness, but I just think that is the most fantastic point of view about our purpose in life. To gain mastery of our egos by reaching out in thought and feeling to that which we sense is behind creation and consistently asking for enlightenment. Just asking the question in thought and feeling, what is my purpose? What am I to do? Why am I here? Just asking those questions and being quiet will literally open us up to guidance. As those kind of questions in a prayer that I will recite at the end of this service, that is, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into divine consciousness when we ask questions like that. And as we listen, divine consciousness will be penetrating our human consciousness. And that's an amazing thing. We're sending out this request for information, and then as we still ourselves, we can receive awareness of the answers to those questions. I say in life, our destination and the possible routes to get there are for us to decide. I live in Florida. I've lived in New York, California, Panama, Texas, Missouri, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Literally, you can get from any point A to point B by multiple routes. So we have the individual decisions to make about that. Now, whether we're traveling by car, on foot, by bus, bicycle, motorcycle, by boat, by train, by bus, you name it, by plane, we need to realize that we're not going to be navigating in a straight line. Traveling in life is not like getting in an escalator or an elevator. You start at the bottom and you go right to the top in a straight line. That, in my experience, is not what life is like. Roads, rivers, flight plans all have twists and turns in them. You look at maps and you look at, well, this road doesn't look straight on that map. No kidding. It's not, because it's been shaped based upon the geography, the topography, and to make it easier for the construction of that. So as we go from point A to point B, once we realize we're going to have to make a lot of different adjustments over the course of that, it doesn't come as any surprise to us when we have to make an adjustment. Now, we could have a temper tantrum, and this happens all the time. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want just straight A to B. I want straight A to B. I don't want to, zig and zag and go back forward and on and on and on. However, if we recognize a little teeny bit of the way life is, we're going to recognize that these kind of adjustments are necessary. I believe, at this point in my life, that we could describe our journeys in this way. 2 points. Number one, our purpose is to raise our own consciousness to be able to understand and experience God. Whatever that means to us as individuals. And Jesus, in that last statement, talked about, to reach out to that which we sense is behind creation. That we call that God, we call it divine consciousness, infinite intelligence, the supreme being, a lot of different words used to describe that creative force. And this is the second point that I see as our journey. Help other people do the same thing. So our purpose is to raise our own consciousness, to be able to understand and experience God, and to help other people do the same thing. You go, wow. I say, just think of this. Our purpose could be to know and experience a loving God, eager to provide the elements identified by Christ in the truth of existence. That's it. That's our purpose. To know and experience God, who is eager to provide the items listed in the truth of existence. Can you imagine what it would feel like, just for a moment, if we were conscious of being in the presence of an amazingly generous, totally predictable, loving philanthropist? And this philanthropist took a great liking to us and our family and our friends. Just think of what that would feel like for a moment. We're in that presence. We would have a tremendous sense of safety and well-being once we got over our initial distrust and what's going on here, and you know, who's doing what to whom, and am I safe? Once we got over that, we'd have a tremendous sense of safety and well-being. We would have a sense of trust and confidence, and the gratitude would be spilling out of us and onto pretty much everything else that we put our attention on. Those people that we think about, those people that we talk to, even things, animals, objects, all of it would benefit. Everything in our vicinity would be benefiting from this state of gratitude that we would be in, because we were in the presence of this tremendous philanthropic energy. We'd probably be amazed that such a powerful being would work on our behalf. You know, that we'd have to overcome our initial skepticism. Am I deserving of this kind of treatment? I'm not certain about that. And then if we could imagine that this philanthropist was actually working for us, this being was so supportive of us, it would look like they're working for us, not just being kind to us. As we become more and more aware that this loving support is always available to us, this is the divine consciousness that Christ is talking about in the book. That philanthropic energy pattern is God, is divine consciousness, is our Creator seeking to provide what we need. When we become more aware of it, we would do two things, I think, at least two things. Number one, we would notice how wonderful it feels to be on the receiving end of that kind of support. It's like, oh, wow, this is amazing. It's amazing. The sun is shining right now. The flowers are growing and vegetables are growing on farms in Florida and elsewhere. And it's an amazing day. It's an amazing month. It's an amazing energy pattern. Wow, how supportive of us. And number two, I think we would be inspired to see if we could help other people have the same type of thoughts and feelings in their lives that we're currently experiencing. We're going, man, oh man, this feels great. This awareness feels so great. This consciousness feels so great. I want to help other people have the same experience. When we're in fear, when we're in scarcity, when we're in doubt and lack, that thought of helping other people is pretty far down the list. So as we become more aware of the support we are receiving or is available to us, then we would be eager to share that knowingness. I like this statement. In the book Christ Returns, Jesus says that the divine consciousness works for us, in us, and through us. That's another statement I just absolutely love, because it makes the game of life so much clearer to me. Now I know what I'm doing. I know what's happening at any given moment just by tuning into that statement. And if we can believe and act in harmony with that, it's like, yep, I believe it. Not just lip saying I believe it, but in fact, every cell in our body responding to the vibration of that belief. Then all of a sudden, we would recognize that at any decision point, okay, am I going to do this or that? am I going to zig or am I going to zag? Every fork in the road in our lives, every decision point, if we recognized that this connection to the divine exists, God is working for us, in us, and through us. At the fork in the road now, we could go, is he working for me, in me, or through me? What shall I do? What action shall I take? Let's say we're navigating in an unknown territory. I haven't been here before. This is different. And in my U.S. Army days in the military, I might have had a map to help me along with my compass. So I'm trying to navigate looking at this map, which is a representation, or it's symbolic of the territory that I'm actually standing on. And I may have noticed the position of the sun. You know, it's late in the day, early in the day. It's almost sunset, almost sunrise, that sort of thing. I might have been able to judge by what the light at the horizon indicated. But because I had no training in using the positions of the stars like celestial navigation, which I presume some maritime people, maybe the Navy or other people that were sailors, would know about. I didn't know anything about celestial navigation in terms of stars. But today, navigation has changed considerably by GPS, right? Global positioning systems, satellites, road sign. The signage out there on the highways is amazing. I was coming home the other day, and I really appreciate the fact that on Alligator Alley, which is the straight highway between Naples, Florida, where I live, and Miami on the east coast of Florida, the highways are now, the signages, exits are mile markers. They're actually indicators. So I live fairly close to exit, in between exit 107 and 111, which says that at the beginning of this highway, 107 to 111 miles later is where I live in that area. And so it's kind of handy as you're driving from Miami, which is where that highway begins, to see, okay, mile marker 30, then 40, then 45, then 70, and then 80. And you can pretty much get a sense of where you happen to be. I like that. In order to navigate, though, just as I was describing, come across on Alligator Alley, Highway Interstate 75, is that we frequently get information about our status at any one moment. Right? I'm driving. I don't see every mile marker because I'm not really checking. But a little while later, I wonder where I am. And whoops, there it is. 53. Mile marker 53. Oh, okay, cool. Got another 60 miles or so to go. Got it. And what we do is we check that. We could be looking at a map if that's how we were navigating. We could be looking at other instrumentation to know what our status is. Gas mileage, for instance, sometimes odometer reading. All of that stuff can serve to help us to navigate. Besides looking at those devices external to us, we can also use our emotions to see how aligned we are. Now, you'd say, well, I want to go from point A to point B. Yeah, but point A actually is from some level of joy to a higher level of joy, being point B. We're constantly seeking to raise our vibrations to higher levels of happiness. And go, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't check my emotions on the way. I just was busy checking mileage signs and so on. Actually, more important than the mileage signs are our emotions. So checking the status of our emotions, what we're offering as we're driving, as we're flying, as we're walking, as we're riding, is really very much to our advantage. The idea that we're going to have to adjust frequently is exemplified by the story of airline flights. Say there's a flight that's going to originate in New York at one of the airports, say Kennedy Airport in New York, and fly to Los Angeles, LAX. That plane is going to be off course the great majority of the time. the pilot and the computerized navigation systems aboard are going to be constantly adjusting the altitude, the attitude, that is one wing versus the other being higher or lower, as well as moving left and right because of the winds and air currents that they're going to be experiencing. All of that stuff says that despite being off course for most of the flight, that plane is actually going to land in LAX some number of hours later, predictably, on a particular runway as identified by the air traffic controller in Los Angeles. And you'd go, wow, that thing was off course, no, all the time. Yes, but it kept adjusting. That's not much different than you and I going to the grocery store. I mean, that's a mundane task, right? We're going to stop at stop signs. We're going to stop at traffic lights or slow down. We're going to obey the speed limits. We're going to slow down or speed up depending on what traffic kind of demands of us. You know, we're not going to go 30 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour traffic. So we're going to try to stay within the flow of traffic. We're going to turn left when we need to, turn right when we need to. We're going to stop when we need to. All of that is not much different than the pilot flying from New York to L.A. That pilot is going to be contending with air currents. We call that wind or jet stream. There could be storms out there. A boat captain, if he were navigating in the water, in the ocean, the Caribbean Sea, for instance, is going to contend with the wind, is going to contend with the currents, those flows, and both of them are going to look to avoid storms. If there's a storm on the horizon, there's a storm in the sky, that plane is going to seek to go around it, sometimes above it. The captain on the ship is going to seek to go around those storms. Now, that's not unusual for us either. At certain times of the year, all of us are going to adjust our navigation due to weather conditions. It may be too hot to go outside and work in New York. It could be too rainy to play golf. It could be too snowy to drive on a non-essential errand to, you know, a store or pick up a movie or something. We're going to use those weather conditions as major factors in our navigation. But, it's not really the weather that directs our navigation as much as our thinking and our feeling. We're going to weigh those, you know, it's snowing too much to go out, you know, and I think I'll wait. It's our thinking and our feeling that drives us to those decisions. It's not the wind outside that pushes us off course, more as much it is in the, quotes, wind, end quotes. And by wind, I mean the noise coming out of the television or the radio, coming from advertising on TV or the radio or even magazines, coming from the presumably unbiased news. Hello, that's not happening on any American station, maybe public TV, I don't know. But certainly the Fox and the CNNs of the world have a real agenda, and they are pushing that and driving us. Those are the winds that we have to contend with. Their agendas are not really geared for us. They're designed to cause us to navigate to whatever they're selling, whether it's a prescription drug in an ad, another credit card, or a new car, or a political point of view. That's what they're pushing us toward, and they're using the power of their energy to try to knock us off course. Their objective is to convince us that what they're selling is an important destination. We ought to stop on our way in our travels and buy the following: that drug, that car, that, you name it, hire that lawyer, adopt this point of view. That's what they want us to do. They want us to buy into that, and then navigate accordingly. If you look closely at the forces of advertising and promotion on TV, just the next time, it makes it a lot more interesting, actually, for me anyway, that you could ask yourself, as these people are promoting whatever it happens to be, what vibrations are they seeking to connect to, and how high are those vibrations? I typically do this. I hit the mute button. I love the mute button. I hit that mute button, and then I just watch what they're doing on that ad. And it's amazing to me. All you have to do is hear it one time, and that's one time more than enough. But you can really get a sense of exactly how they're trying to propagandize us. Political pundits, these guys on the news that I do not watch, however, I know enough to recognize that they're promoting enmity, hatred, scorn, and anger at whomever, whatever type of people they happen to be hating at that particular moment. And the things that are what they blame for the problem, but are not, in fact, the cause of the problem. But because these lower vibrations make people dumber, people that are listening to this stuff as if it were legitimate stop checking their navigation systems. They don't check their personal navigation systems to go, wait a minute, is this right? Is this real? Is this valuable? Is this the direction I want to go? But because they don't do that, and that's exactly what these guys are designed to do, to promote these lower vibrations in us, people just get carried away by the current of that emotion, hatred or whatever, fear, the sky is falling, or they just join in the mob, or both. In the old days, along the seacoasts of America, and this was true in Europe too, Scotland, Ireland, England, and probably... It certainly was true in the Caribbean. I just was told about this previous week and elsewhere around the world, that people on the shoreline, and this is a big thing in North Carolina in the U.S., would literally go out there and put up fake lights, giving the appearance of a lighthouse so the ships could then navigate safely, except they put lighthouses in incorrect places. So, in fact, they were luring these ships into the rocks so they would be destroyed. They brought them into the rocks so they would be destroyed, and now all their goods, all the people on board with their money and whatever, all the contents of that vessel would now be floating and be free for people to capture it. They would rush out to the shoreline, into the water, trying to grab all this stuff right after they deliberately lured the vessel into the rocks. So those scavengers, even though they pretended this was a good idea, this is in your best interest, caused tremendous amount of destruction for their personal benefit. Consider for a minute, if you're being lured onto the rocks by the advertisers and promoters who are acting in their own self-interest, but are pretending to help us. Now, with a little teeny bit of research, you would identify that hundreds of thousands of people each year in the United States alone are dying from prescription drugs or medical procedures or hospital mishaps. Literally, between 400,000 people to 1 million people every year in the U.S. die that way. You go, that's scary. That sounds like the rocks, doesn't it? Personally, I've made the information in the book Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth the foundation of my spiritual studies. The parts of the book that I can understand make so much sense to me that it encourages me to, you know, continue to work at increasing my awareness so I can understand the stuff I can't yet understand. All of this is because I have a purpose and a destination, and that is I've wanted for years and years to understand how Jesus did his miracles. I wanted to know how he did it, and now I know he did it because of his consciousness. Well, if I want to do the same thing, guess what I need to work on? Yep, you guessed it. my consciousness, my awareness, my connection to the divine. And so this book, to me, is a fabulous tool to be used in that way. If, as Jesus says in the book, that divine consciousness has provided everything necessary for our full, happy, healthy, prosperous lives through these items that he describes and lists in The Truth of Existence, it makes sense to me to value those same ideas that are listed in The Truth of Existence. If they're important enough for God to provide to us, I think they must be important enough for us to access. To reiterate a point that I made earlier, God works for us, in us, and through us. As we navigate in daily activities and, you know, long-term plans, when we're really looking down the road where we're headed, we can steer toward growth, spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical growth, not only for ourselves, but for our families and for every other being on the planet. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty purposeful. Nutrition and nourishment, we can navigate to the food substances that come from God, not a factory. Not stuff that is made out of synthetic things and chemicals and additives that once we introduce them to our bodies go, I do not recognize this stuff. Who made this junk? I think just by taking a little bit of time, we can become aware that we're going to want to be eating and drinking stuff that comes from God without too many people in between that are modifying it for profit. Healing is the third item in The Truth of Existence. And so where does healing come from? If you just think in terms of a scratch on your finger, how does that occur? How does that occur? Then all of a sudden you go, that seems to occur naturally. Exactly. Healing is natural. It's a gift. It's natural. We can interfere with it, that's for sure. I think that we've got particular skill in that area. And this is an area that is amazingly profitable for those people that are peddling things that represent rocks. Here, buy, have this drug. And what if I have a negative reaction to it? What if the effects of it are negative? Oh, we'll give you another drug that will deal with those side effects. They're not side effects, they're effects. They're the ones that are, well, they're part of the effects. Hopefully more positive than negative. And then if I have a negative reaction to the effects of the second drug, oh, well, we'll give you a drug. That is moving into the rocks at a very quick pace. The fourth item is protection. I can see where this could be a problem for the economy. If we're aligned with the divine protection, and pretty much anybody who examines their life a little teeny bit would go, you know what? I seem to have been protected or steered away from something that was dangerous or risky or a potential problem, almost like in an otherworldly sense. I've got a bunch of those personally. I like it. But if we're aligned with that divine protection, then the guy who's selling us guns and the barbed wire and alarm systems and guard dogs and guard duty and all kinds of other protective, quotes, protective devices, it's like, I'm not really in the market for that, thanks. I'm protected. Well, yeah. And a person who buys into needing a gun to be protected is, after some point in time, is going to like, wow, I only have one gun. This is no protection against a guy who's got two guns. I better get another gun. And on and on and on. That escalating arms race is not just countries, it's people too. Fulfillment of need is another item. Just think about the opportunity we have of turning to the divine with a need and believing that it's going to be fulfilled perfectly. Just say, wow, I have a need, and it's going to be filled perfectly. Now, needs are not the same as wants. Advertisers hope you're not going to be able to tell the difference between the two. Oh, let's kind of blur that line so they can't distinguish. They got to have one more of these and two more of these and something else of these. And when we fall for wants becoming the overriding drive that hooks our ego, we're much more susceptible to being lured off of our course. Work is another item in the truth of existence, and that work is really the playing field where we develop, where we grow, where we can grow in our understanding and our awareness, and it's the place, it's the playing field, it's the arena in which we can be the conduit of the divine. If the divine is going to work through us, it's better that we're not hermits with nobody or no thing to interact with. Better we should be interacting with people on this playing field called work, adding value to things with our own energy, with our consciousness, with our thought forms and our desires to improve and love. And as we move upward emotionally, we're going to be in a much better place. That work is really where we can help other people who are looking to expand their awareness just like we are. And we're all playing the same game. Not greed. Not repelling other people. But in fact, seeking to align and be in harmony with love, which appears to be the ultimate characteristic of divine consciousness. Then there's survival. There's survival. That's one of the elements of the truth of existence. And you can go online now and Google about death rates for this and that and the other thing in the United States or any country of the world for that matter, and you're going to recognize that all the studies say this: the main causes of death are directly due to lifestyle choices. It's like, In other words, we're buying things, eating things, drinking things, doing things that kill us. And it's no mystery. It's not like, oh, that was an accident. That guy died from... That's not an accident. That's suicide. His behavior could only end in one way. It's like, When we buy and use things that kill us, I think it's pretty safe to say we are way off course and we're navigating in the wrong direction, because we're navigating away from survival and everything else in the list of truth of existence. Then when you add rhythm, those natural ebbs and flows of energies, the tides, the seasons, day, night, or the regular cycles that we're going to experience even during the course of a 24-hour period, then we can make a decision to navigate in harmony with them instead of navigating against them. Years ago, I had the experience in Panama. I was leading an army expedition of American Special Forces soldiers and Panamanian National Guard across the Continental Divide. And so the goal was to make it a survival expedition, go from the Atlantic coast over to the Pacific coast, more or less what we believe that Balboa had done when he made a similar journey. And so we got across the Continental Divide, and we got down to the base of the mountain, and we're in a tidal river. And we're rowing one day in the river, and no matter how fast we were rowing in our rubber boats, and we're big boys, big, strong, special forces kind of guys, we were standing still. The tide was coming in, and we were rowing against it, and we were making zero headway. And finally, somebody suggested, and I made the decision, it was a good idea, that we get out of the river, get onto the bank, and wait until the tide changed. And some hours later, about six and a half hours, when we recognized that the tide had changed, we then turned around, got into the boat, and rowed. We literally were going so fast rowing the boat that if we had a skier behind us, we could have pulled that skier. And this is a rubber boat, and we're rowing. We didn't have any outboard motors. And that's how this tide was so powerful. So when you go with the tide, when you go with these natural energy flows designed by the divine, life is a lot easier than when we go against the tide. When we go with the stream, things are much easier. And if we're looking for it because we believe that we're being protected and supported and loved and cared for by all of these elements of the truth of existence, it's a lot less scary to play in life. Now, all of these natural flows and all of these other items occur within a predictable and consistent system of spiritual law and order. Predictable in that they do not vary. They're the same for all people. We reap what we sow. The law of cause and effect, the law of attraction, all of this stuff, as we think, so we are, all of that stuff works all the time, every time, without fail. That knowingness adds so much certainty to the way we can navigate in life. So here's what we can do to fix our navigation system. I got a total of 5 points. Number one, decide on the purpose of our lives. Just decide on it. Like, is it as Jesus would say in Christ Returns, or is it something else? But decide on what it is. Number two, decide on your ultimate destination. Where are you heading? What do you want to be or do? How do you want to exist upon completion? Three is to check our status mentally, emotionally, physically, frequently. Check that status frequently to see if we're on course in harmony with those first two items. If we're navigating off purpose and away from our destination, we adjust. There's no need to beat ourselves up. Beating ourselves up is actually taking us off course emotionally. Love is on course, on purpose. Anything else, criticism, judgmentalness, anger, on and on, is off course. So if we use a means to stay off course to try to correct ourselves, it's like, whoa, I'm even further off course than I was before. Exactly, exactly. Kindness to ourselves, self-acceptance, is a fantastic way to get back into balance. So how do we know if we're off course? Our emotional state's going to tell us. If it's lower now than it was before, we're going in the wrong direction. And you can notice the vibrations that we offer. If you offer vibrations to people or things that you put your attention on, and if they're lower than they were before, then you're further away from love than before, and you're navigating off purpose and away from where you want to go. And when we have those kind of lower vibration feelings toward ourselves, toward other people, toward other things, we're going to lose sight of joy and happiness. And, unfortunately, we're going to become more fixated, more clearly focused on threats, fear, anger, which are all indications that we're navigating off course and away from our purpose. The fourth item is we can connect to the divine navigational support system. I talked about celestial navigation before, which is, in common language, is referred to as navigating by the stars. You know, the North Star, as well as the Southern Cross, if you're over in the other hemisphere. And so, but celestial, angelic, divine, we can connect to that by thinking of it and calling out to it, by speaking out, asking for help, and then being quiet and allowing that knowingness, that awareness to come to us. And that actually is the fifth item on this list. Breathe in the divine. When we feel like we're a little bit off course, breathe in the divine as we wait for the awareness to arrive. Our awareness will increase. And when we breathe in the divine, that's a huge step in the right direction for navigational purposes. The simple question we could ask ourselves when we're faced with a choice of what to do or think or a way to feel or what to eat or what to drink or what to do or not do is ask ourselves this: is this really the direction I want to go in my life? I don't know how long it took me to say that. Is this really the direction I want to go in my life? I don't know, 2 seconds, 3 seconds? If we would ask ourselves that question before eating or drinking or saying or not saying or doing something, all of a sudden we would recognize that the advice that we hear in our heads, or see as an image, or feel in our bodies, or have a sense of knowingness about, would be much more in alignment with the direction that we want to navigate. The awareness that's going to arrive in response to that, with a little bit of practice, is going to get better and better until we're going to be superb navigators. Where? Superb navigators in the ocean of God, in the ocean of our good, which we are completely surrounded by. All we have to do is connect to it, increase our awareness so we can become aware of it, and then we would have fixed our navigational systems. I'd like to end the service with this prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know that it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.